today. We're deep into our stewardship season, week 3 or 4. We're almost there, friends. You should have received a mailing this week asking you to prayerfully consider how you would give to God's work through our church in 2019. We're hoping that you might return those next week, this coming Sunday, for our dedication Sunday. A week is not a lot of time to think about what you might give. But we're hoping that 1 week of discussing with your family and prayerfully considering what you might give will be enough as we all seek God together this week. What we're trying to do is to save you the problem of procrastinating, of setting that envelope aside and then not remembering where you put it. So if you're ready, bring it back next week in worship. If you need more time, don't feel quite settled in your spirit, take all the time you need. This morning, though, we're asking you to consider how you'll steward something far more significant, far more important than your money. We want to ask you to consider how you will steward the gift of you. How will you use the unique gifts that God has given you as a person? Now, I know what you're thinking. Who, me? Gifts? I'm no one special. I don't have anything to offer that a dozen people around me couldn't do better. We used to think we had gifts, I think, when we were younger. When we were young, we thought we could do or be anything. Someone might have told you that you had a unique gift, and you might have believed them until you stepped out on the stage and began to exercise those gifts and discovered it's a lot harder than it looks. When I started high school, I lived in Buffalo, New York, and attended a very large high school with just a fabulous music program. The musicals in that high school seemed like Broadway productions to me, and I always dreamed of being in a musical. I'd never sang in a school choir before. I played trumpet, so I was in band all those times. But I'd been told that it had a nice voice. But musicals at that school, they were way out of my league. But when I was a junior in high school, we moved from Buffalo, New York, to rural Cincinnati, Ohio. My high school was so small that I had to drive 9 miles to get to it. I joined the choir. I auditioned for the musical, and I got a lead role. And then the terror settled in. I'm an introvert. I'm not used to making my voice be heard on a stage without a microphone. I kept being told I wasn't demonstrative enough in my acting and my gestures. And it didn't help when I forgot about 4 bars of my lyrics in my solo during one performance. It was a great experience, but I'll never do it again. Whenever we've believed in our gifting enough to experiment, enough to try it on for size and discover it's harder to be a star than it looks, we often back up and quietly pack away our gifts and say, I'll never do that again. And sometimes we extrapolate those embarrassing moments from those first tries to other gifts we might have as well and decide we won't risk any of that again and conclude that maybe we don't have any gifts after all to give. Nelson Mandela, in his second inaugural address as the first black president after decades of apartheid, was trying to stir the imagination of the South African people that though they had been oppressed forever, to remind them that they were indeed gifted. They could lead their nation together if they exercised their gifts. And so this is what he told them. He said, we ask ourselves, who am I to shine? Actually, who are you not to? You are a child of God. Your playing small does not serve the world. We were born to manifest the glory of God that is within us. And as we let our light shine, we unconsciously give other people permission to do the same. As we're liberated from our own fear, our presence automatically liberates others. King David was someone who exercised the gifts that God had given him. We know his story. We know sometimes he succeeded and sometimes he failed miserably. We can also guarantee that he felt like giving up at times as king, saying, "This is too hard. I don't have the abilities to lead a nation." And he must have felt this self-doubt especially profoundly whenever Israel was threatened by an enemy, when their survival was on the line. Psalm 139 is one of those moments when David is feeling overwhelmed by the threat of an enemy, and actually this enemy might have been inside his own government. And so David turned to God in prayer, and what he was going to do was ask God to destroy his enemies. But before he got to that part of his prayer, he thought he should start a little softer than that. And so he began to ask God to search him, to examine him, to know him, to see if he was worthy of asking for God's rescue. And this happens sometimes when we start praying, when we start down one train of thought, the Spirit takes us a direction we didn't anticipate. As David started down that path of "search me," his thoughts were led to this unexpected place of wonder. Wondering as to how thoroughly God already knew him. And this led him to a rediscovery of his giftedness by God. So it happened like this in his prayer. He said, "Search me, O Lord, know me." Then he paused. And then he said, "You already know everything about me, don't you? You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You know my thoughts before they're spoken. You're acquainted with all my ways. You know how I like my coffee, that I cry at movies, what's on my Spotify playlist. You know me," he discovers, "because you made me. It was actually you who formed me in my mother's womb. You shaped and molded me. You stitched and have sewn me together. You determined the hue of my skin and whether I'd have curly hair or didn't need it at all. You determined my gait as I walk and whether I'd like puns or real jokes." No bias there. And then here's the unexpected insight he was led to. If God had fashioned him in the womb, then David must be fearfully and wonderfully made. David must have gifts. David must be marvelous because all of God's works, all of his creation is wonderful. All creation testifies to the beauty and the mystery and the power and the glory and the wonder of what God has made. So that must be true of David and of you and me as well. We're part of God's marvelous creation. We are amazing and a wonder to behold. We're using Celtic prayers throughout the service, and the Celts, boy, they had a sense of the nearness, the presence of God in nature. Every attribute of nature told them about an attribute of God. And so listen to these few phrases of this prayer that describe the wonder of nature showing us God. This prayer begins, "I bind unto myself today the virtues of the starlit heavens, the glorious sun's life-giving ray, the whiteness of the moon at even, the flashing of the lightning free, the whirling wind's tempestuous shocks, the stable earth, the deep salt sea around the old eternal rocks." You see, God could go on writing a poem about you. All the things that are you, you're a wonder to behold, because that's true of everything God creates. You are a unique gift. In spite of the Myers-Briggs, it says there's only 16 types of us. There's an infinite number of expressions of human beings. There's only one, you. You are a unique gift and What is the unique gift that is you? Do you know, do you understand what God knows about you? What he dreamed of for you before you arrived, when he added you to his divine plan for the world? It's not just one unique gift that you have, but knowing at least one gift is a good place to begin. So, what are you uniquely qualified to do? What is it about you, about how you see the world, about how you approach problems, about how you welcome people, that is God's gift in you to the world? We all bring something. In fact, we bring many things. We bring something that is needed. We bring something that if we fail to show up, the world will have to limp along without us. Something that when exercised makes us more fully alive, firing on all cylinders, and suggests why we're here. Often we only know this gift, what it is about us, because others have told us that gift. So if you're wondering what your gift is, then ask people you trust, what is a gift I bring? What is a strength I bring to the world or to our relationship? Know your gifts. Our gifts, they're woven into us, they're knitted into our DNA, they're pressed into our personalities, they emerge as a result of probably both nature and nurture, because God is always at work creating. But these gifts, they do not arrive preassembled, they do not arrive ready to operate. They come as primitive abilities, these unformed inklings, these hunches, these preferences, these proclivities that need to be taken out of the box, examined and then exercised and explored, put through their paces, tested again and again until we begin to know how to use these gifts to their greatest effectiveness. I think virtual reality is creating some confusion about the real world. Wii bowling, Guitar Hero, they make you feel like you can bowl 225 or keep up with Jimi Hendrix on guitar even if you've never lugged a 16-pound ball or plucked a metal string before. When we do virtual things, we're tempted to think, I can do that. When we begin to identify our gift, we immediately think we're ready for prime time, but not so much. Identifying our gifts helps us to know when we are to step forward and begin to practice that gift. So when a situation at home or work or the bridge club or your HOA is floundering, when it's unclear what to do next and there's no agreement on which way to go, but you see another way, or you feel like you have a missing piece of the puzzle, or you can see in your mind's eye how this might all work out after all, that's your cue. This is your gift. Step forward. Bring your gift to the table. In those moments, we tend to look around us, even when we have a sense of what needs to be done. We have the sense that somebody else could do it better. We keep wondering, why doesn't somebody do something? And the answer may be because you're the only somebody who knows what needs to be done. So risk identifying your gift. Then risk exercising your gift. Let it grow. Let it mature. Let it expand and refine over time. Get better. Be more useful. Allow God to call you into greater use and to benefit his kingdom because of you. It always feels risky. We never know how things are going to work out when we start practicing our gifts. We just know we're supposed to start. And God will partner with us somehow as we practice that gift. This kind of risk, this kind of investment, this kind of stewardship of your gifts is going to require you to learn on the job and readjust and adapt, but it will always honor God and assist his purposes at the same time. Hiding your gifts, not putting them into practice, letting others struggle without you because you're afraid or because you devalue or diminish your gifts will only make you smaller and God's world a little dimmer because you're fearfully and wonderfully made. Know your gifts, exercise your gifts, and then finally realize that God has other gifted people too. I love that parable because it was true of my father, that if all you have is a hammer, then everything looks like a nail. That's all. The only tool my father's home repair kit was a hammer. When we realize and develop our unique gifts, we begin to think that they are God's one gift, God's one solution for what ails the world. And so there's this temptation to overfunction, to use our gifts in places where it's not our gift that is needed. So identifying and understanding our gifts helps us to realize when to step forward. It also helps us to realize when we are to step back and not be the one to run out on the field. Understanding the places where we serve and fit and add value, but also times when we're supposed to rest and rely on God's gifts in other people. So if you're experiencing fatigue or weariness or some of the joy of practicing your gift is gone, it could be because you were meant to rest a few measures and let somebody else play. If you're in the band, the instruments don't play all the time. Sometimes your job is to count the rest until it's your turn to come back in. Identifying our gifts is an invitation both to work more and to rest more as God brings other gifts alongside ours. You are fearfully, wonderfully made, as magnificent as the mountains, as purposeful as God could ever intend you, your gift for the world. Let's use them. Amen. So you may not know this, but we record every service. And Randy, can you stop the recording?